so many reasons to rejoice and look to you and be joyful. In fact, the scripture says very clearly, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice, and that's your word. That's your word to us. And so we thank you for that. Pray you anoint me this morning. I just speak words of the Spirit, and each heart would be open to receive. So we give thanks to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We're going to start this morning in 2 Timothy and chapter 4, verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. And it says this, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, and exhort, and I put parentheses around there. I want you to focus on exhort. Exhort really means is to call to one side. So you exhort, you're calling someone to one side. So we reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. And as I was getting ready and just praying about, say, okay, we're going to start off 2023, and again, significant for me, it's as significant that that's a Sunday, and I'm thinking, okay, Lord, just as we start over again, what are you telling us, you know, what should we be focused on? And I don't, you know, I'm speaking personally, is I really enjoy coming together with the believers. I enjoy coming together with the church. I love the studies. I love the times we come together. And, it, you know, as one mind, we just worship Christ, and we're walking in that. And it's just powerful, and it's very encouraging, and it's encouraging to encourage one another in the Lord and, you know, with like-minded people. Then I kind of look at the world, okay? And then I make the huge mistake, as you well know, I watch the news. So I watch television. And it's like, oh my gosh, you got to be kidding me. This, Lord, this is awful, you know? And so instead of, you know, having the mindset of being victorious, I kind of have the mindset, oh man, this is miserable. Come take me home. And, you know, kind of a defeatist attitude. So I'm just being honest with you, you know, like that. So, but then I said, okay, no, Lord, you have this in control. And so I start, you know, going back, say, okay, God, what are you doing in this? And looking at it. But it can't help but, you know, you look around us and you see the news and stuff. And you think, man, things are really getting worse. And it's like there's a real, even a very focused attack on Christianity. And so it's, you know, it's concerning me, and I'm thinking, well, why don't we go share with the body, with the church? And I thought, well, Lord doesn't want me to share with you. I'm just saying, Lord, take me home. I'm tired of this mess. I thought, well, that's not a good message to share. And it's like, and I'm being somewhat facetious, but we've always been there. But the Lord really laid on my heart as I was just thinking about, Lord, what are you doing? Where do you have us? And he really impressed upon me, and I'm going to talk about Broadlands Community Church specifically, and I don't mean to exclude all other believers, but I'm not preaching to all other believers. I'm just sharing with you. So I'm really talking about the church and what he's telling me about our church, and to hopefully that we can be encouraged by that. And the thing he really laid on my heart says, you have a legacy. There is a legacy here. And that legacy is what I'm going to use to impact this world. And I thought, well, okay, as I prayed about that, and the Lord really, you know, solidified that in my heart and mind, and I said, well, exactly what you mean. So as I went through it, there's a lot of things happened. I went back over my personal testimony, the things he's told me in the past, and I was reading the scriptures and just saying, the Lord, to speak to me. And basically, he was saying that the legacy given us, Broadlands Community Church, and again, I want to make a point. I'm talking to us as a church. I'm not trying to exclude any other believing churches. But is he talking to us as Broadlands Community Church? And he says, I've given you a legacy, and I've given you everything. I've given you the total truth to counter the world's demonic insanity. Now, that's basically what he said. He said, I've given you everything you need to counter the world's demonic insanity. And you think, well, okay. And it's and he's telling me, so that you know, we are equipped to proclaim the truth of true Christianity. whenever it's attacked. Whenever it's attacked, we have the full truth to counter that. And you thought, well, okay. And having that full truth to counter that, that is your legacy. That is your legacy. That's what I'm doing through you, through your body. And the Apostle Paul is telling Timothy, this verse is one of the, probably the last letter that the Apostle Paul wrote. He's probably in prison. And so he's commissioning Timothy, who he's leaving here. He's, listen, I'm going, everything's a mess, but preach the word. He says, preach the word. And so that truly is our legacy. But, you know, he says, not only preach the word, have it on the tip of your tongue all the time. Have the word on the tip of your tongue all the time. Now, he said, be ready in season, out of season. But that's like, have the word on the tip of your tongue all the time. And then he said, you have it on the tip of your tongue. And says, and then you can exhort. You can call people alongside. So there's that whole witness that the Lord has for us as a church and for believers. So because of that truth of the Lord Jesus Christ and him working with us in this world, we can confidently reprove and rebuke the error presented to us. So no question. We have the full equipment to deal with what's ever thrown at us, which kind of fits in, says, you are the light of the world. I mean, it figures in, says, no, you're the light, and you're fully equipped to handle anything that the world throws at you. You are fully capable of defeating anything Satan himself throws at you. And so we are confident because of that. And then we lovingly can exhort, call people alongside us, and be patient and confident and teach. Well, that's the legacy. That's our legacy. And as I went through that, the next verse, in case, I don't know if you read the scriptures, and as I read the scriptures, I enjoy it. And one of the things I do, it's kind of me having a conversation with God. He's telling me something, trying to convince me stuff, and therefore I don't get some of it. And so every once in a while as I read scripture, I argue with him. You know, what do you mean? I don't understand. Why are you saying anything like this? And I'm thinking, God, you know, it's not the first time I read this verse, but you're saying this, you know, why are you making such a point? It seems so big. The next verse, he tells me, okay, just like he always does. And this is the reason he's saying, preach the word in season and out of season. Be ready, and you're equipped. And so let's look at the next verse. The next verse really tells us why he's saying this, because why he said it to Timothy is why he's saying it to us. Because God fully knows what's happening. He knows what's happening. So he's telling us so we can prepare in what's happening around us. And as the light and the truth, we are reminded we are equipped. And see, this is important. We are equipped to face these dark times. For how many of us say, man, I'm just getting overwhelmed. I'm just snowed in this, and there's no answer for this. You know, and so we kind of get in a defensive. And God says, no, you're not. You're victorious in this. Not only that, you are equipped in this. And I know what's happening, and I put you in this because I know what's happening, and I also know you are equipped. He goes on to say this. Preach the word. Why? 2 Timothy chapter 4, 3 and 4. Preach the word. Why? For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. Really? Time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. Why do people go to these false teachers? Why are these false teachers? What is going on? People are going, and they're finding teachers to suit their own passions. It's their inner heart that's leading them into false teaching. So he's saying it. And it's coming, and he says it's going to get worse and worse. And so you can tell that when you see these movements, the movement is working from the people's, the passions of their own heart. Their own heart. And says, and they will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Now, I don't know about you, it really sounds a lot like today. I mean, this was written 2,000 years ago, you know, and this is what's happening, and you need to preach the word. So 2,000 years later, we go, God, it says, happening again. He goes, yeah, I know, I'm telling you, and I'm also giving you the answer. Preach the word. Preach the word. And so we see this, and we should be encouraged. I'm talking about that. We should be encouraged when we see the world around us, and starting 2023, instead of rejoicing in the Lord with, oh my God, well, this is crazy, what's going to happen? No, God knows exactly what's going to happen. He's told us he knew what's going to happen 2,000 years ago. He's telling us, I know exactly what's going to happen. Don't be surprised. This is what humans do repeatedly. And this is where they're going. And so we should be encouraged that God sees this. He knows. He knows. Therefore, he knows about us, where we are, and how we fit into this whole thing. Yeah, it's a mess, but he told us a mess. And I put you in there because it's a mess. Basically, is what he's saying. So he knows. God looks down, and he sees. So in our situation, in the world, in our family, and everything, he looks down, he sees. He sees. Just like he did in Genesis. Genesis 6:5. The Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Just, man hasn't changed. Nothing's changed. Nothing. There's not one thing has changed here. And so as we look at it and you think, God, we read the scriptures and we understand this. And I don't know how many of you would think, and as I process through, I says, well, we'll do it, and things will get better and better and better. And it's just not in the scripture. It doesn't say that. Now, it talks about the millennium, you know, and, you know, God's going to reign on earth. But, I mean, he kind of turns things upside down to get that done. But what he says beforehand, people will be worse and worse. Teachers, you continue looking for teachers after their own passions, you know. And so that's what you see. And he said, how do you address that? So you preach the truth. You preach the word. You just preach the word. That's what you do. Now, so as we look at this and we say, okay, God, I see what you're saying. I see, preach the word. And it's going to get worse and worse. But Lord, it's just like, how do we move within this darkness? And he goes, you preach the word and let me take care of the darkness. You do what I tell you and let me take care of everything else. And that's what he's saying. Now, this reminds me that why we're in the midst of all this evil. And I've always joked with you before. Why do I have that neighbor driving me crazy? Why do I have that boss that's driving me crazy? Why is everybody driving me crazy? Or whatever, whatever. You know, we complain about all the lost people around us, you know. Well, he's put us there. Now, that's the first thing that's got us like, whoa. You know, whoa. He's put us there. And you go, well, why? And why has God put us here, you know, talking to Broadlands Community Church, this church within Ashburn, who has, which really is truly, as far as the Lord's concerned, a dark place? Lord, why? We seem so weak comparatively, you know, as we talk to ourselves. Well, he actually gives us a perfect example, and I think some of you know where I'm going on this. He told Abraham the same thing. Abraham, he came and appeared to Abraham, and Abraham said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to Sodom and Gomorrah, and I'm going to destroy all of them because of their wickedness. Now, and without going through that whole section of Scripture, Abraham goes, God, he finally gets progressive. He says, God, if there are 10 righteous people, don't destroy it. He said, all right. If there's 10 righteous people, I won't destroy it. Now, taking that example, and this is Genesis 18:32, and it says, for the sake of 10, I will not destroy the city. Well, let's just apply to aspirin. Now, again, just an example for us to think. Aspirin, for the sake of 10, I won't destroy it. Or let's just focus in. I want to talk about it. For the sake of Broadlands Community Church, I won't destroy it. For the sake of 10 in Broadlands Community Church, I won't destroy it. That's why we're here. Now the perspective changes. That's why we're here. Exhort, bring people alongside. Because this is why we're here. I can't stand my neighbor. That is why you're there. You're my minister there to him. I can't stand my boss. He's incompetent. God goes, I agree with you. He's incompetent. But you are there to minister to him. See, the whole mindset totally changes when we look at what God is telling us. He's moving through his church. We have to live and deal with everything around us, but he's moving through us that we can speak the words of truth because he says, preach the word. Preach the word. The whole thing. Be ready in season, out of season. You know, I was in my backyard. I was enjoying myself. Why did this guy have to come? I was thoroughly enjoying myself. No, that's the wrong attitude. Be ready to preach the word in season and out of season, whenever it happens. Okay, this is the divine appointment. Pay attention and you interact. Because how God moves his message in this world is through believers. It's through believers. Did you know there's statistics say the crusades like Billy Graham used, and you see all sorts of people have crusades, and thousands of people sometimes come and they have altar calls and things. It is a statistic, true statistic, that less than 5% of Christians come to know the Lord through evangelistic crusades. 95% of them come through friends and neighbors. So you want a big ministry, it's your friends and neighbors. Because those are the ones who come and stick. Come and stick. Okay? Hallelujah for Billy Graham. Hallelujah for that. And yeah, God uses him in a mighty way. But the figures show, when they talk to people and Christians, how'd you come to know the Lord? It's family and friends. That's how and you know why it's family and friends? Because family and friends are real. Family and friends are real, and they see a difference in family or friends, and family and friends earn a right to speak, and they can speak with power and authority. So this is the picture. That we know. So, but I did want to make the point, because you think, well, Abraham, and I'm just being honest with you, sometimes I'm not thinking like Abraham, you know. God said, I'm going to go destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. They're a mess. I'm saying, you'll go for it, God. Man, those people, you know. No, that's not what you're supposed to do. No, God, if it's just 10, don't destroy it. That's why we're here, okay? That's why Jesus came. And so it's like, okay, my thinking has to totally change on this. And then you have a heart like Christ, and you look for opportunities. You look for divine opportunities. Be ready in season, out of season, to speak the truth. To speak the truth. Now, so making that point, I want to go on to this. It's like, as I was rehearsing this, it's like, and I've talked about this before, the world tries to suck us into different arguments and put us in a bad spot where there's really no answers. Well, you don't like this person claims to be, I don't know, you have to say it because it's all over there. The person becomes, he's like homosexual, and you hate them. And just tell me why you hate them. And so we get in an argument. Well, we don't hate them. And so we try to explain everything, you know. And by the way, we always, I'll tell you up front, you'll always lose that argument. 100% of the time. Because you come, you don't love them. You don't care. They can't be who they want to be. Or, you know, the ones that just won't change sexes or anything like that. And I had, you know, watch the news again. Supreme Court justice was approved. And they asked her to define what a woman was. And she said she couldn't. That's the Supreme Court justice. I'm just telling you how pervasive this whole mindset is. And so the whole, when you look at these things, these questions where unbelieving people are trying to pull you into their world to accept all sorts of ungodly things. And by taking a stand on godly things, you prove yourself is what you don't love, you don't care, you're bigoted, da-da-da. You know the whole story. Well, God just laid on my side. We individually know that's not true, but we get caught in arguments. Well, problem is we get caught in their argument. See, that's our mistake. We go into their argument. What we do is now we bring them into our truth and let them focus on that. Don't let them control the argument. You bring them into our truth and let them deal with that first. Because they're never going to come with any answer to anything until they receive the Lord Jesus Christ and his love. That gives them insight to God's ways. So why are we trying to explain something to them when they have rejected God and everything about God? You see what I'm saying? So understand, don't get sucked into their argument, but bring them into the presence of God. So the question goes, how do we do that? How do we do that? And the God said, you're totally equipped to do this, totally equipped. And he's telling me, I'm equipped. And he says, everyone in Broadlands Community Church is equipped. They're equipped. They all know this information already. You know this information. And so when I was looking at that, okay, God, what, asking God, what is my legacy? How did I get here? How does the church get here? And the Bible says, be ready to give an answer. What's the last part of that? To everyone who asks. See, I won't give an answer before they even ask. You'd be ready for anyone who asks. See, so you're prepared, preachers. Word in season, out of season, when anyone asks, or when you deal with any situation. So, and when I just want to jump to this, is that, long story short, it's like, okay, is I prayed about it, rehearsed it, and what I'm going to put down here, I'm not saying this is everything, but what the Lord told me, here are the eight things. We're going to review these eight things. They're basically eight messages on how we preach the word and how we will be in season and out of season, no matter what the question. And here are the eight things. And the thing about it with these eight messages, what's interesting about it, all these messages can be presented with a smile. You know, you talk with some people, doesn't know the Lord or anything like that. At the end of it, you want to smack them or they want to smack you. And just, you know, it just gets so frustrating. No, if we do it the way the Lord wants to, we can do it with a smile. Just happy. Now, they might, that doesn't mean they won't agree with us or something, but we can do it with a smile because we're not going to get upset because we know that the Lord is the only one that can move and do what he's supposed to. So we'll do it just with a smile. But again, our presence is a witness. And sometimes because of that, our presence is just an irritation. Okay, but that's we didn't do anything. Okay. Now, and so I came up with these eight things. We're going to review them. And it's like eight messages. So I'm just letting you know, I never do this. For the next 8 weeks, these are the eight messages we're going to talk about. And these eight messages are literally a review. You're going to have heard these things before, but I want to reinforce them so we can be encouraged to stand strong no matter what Satan throws at us and have the truth of God. Thus, releasing God the person. Did you follow that? We have the truth of God that releases God the person. And only until God the person is released can anything change. But we want to be an avenue, not a hindrance to what God's trying to do. Now, so, and I want to make a point because I thought about this going through. It doesn't make any difference if the person is, as we're communicating, witness, is evil. And an evil person is trying to hurt us. An evil person is not going to believe anything we say, no matter what. Well, this still works. Some people are just ignorant. I mean, they don't know any facts. Well, it works with them. Some people are seeking, and, you know, that's a real, real blessing. Or some, even like in Christians, are just powerless. I mean, how many Christians are just powerless, totally powerless? Well, it works to them. It's the same message. It works with everybody. And I'm going to walk through this. Now, we have an overhead here. Here are the eight messages that empowers us to stand before anyone, including Satan himself, with the answer that God wants us to share. Okay. Now, before I start, I want everybody to look at number three. See number three? That's the number one fallback to everything. Now, this is the order in which I'm going to share them, 1 through 8. But number three is the fallback on everybody. You hate these people, you know, or you hate. It's like, no, number three, Jesus loves us. Jesus died for us. Jesus loves them. Jesus died for them. That's it. Through Jesus, I love them. Jesus loves them. Well, the Bible says, Jesus says he loves them. So that's number one fallback. And so we smile. We're happy about this, you know. Now, that drives people crazy. Well, the Bible said, no, the Bible may have said it, but Jesus loves them. He loves them. Well, why do you think so? Jesus loves me. How can you love them? Jesus loves them. He died for them. Amen? Number three, okay, should be number one. It just didn't fit in my preaching pattern, so I just did the number three. But, okay, we got that? So anything I share here, we're going back to number three always. When you talk to anyone, I don't care where they're coming from, if they're a believer and, you know, ever since a kid says, what do you think about you? I said, believe Jesus loves us and he died for us. That's the first conversation. You meet somebody that hates everybody. Why is your God so good? Loves me. He died for us. He loves you. I don't care. Same message. Amen? I mean, if you don't, you're going to be wrapped around the axle if you don't get this. And in a lot of meaningless argument. This is the number one. Okay, but here's the other. I put them in order. And the reason I put these in this order, just share with you, this is, as I look at it in general, this is kind of how the Lord, you know, I came to know the Lord at 25, wasn't raised in a Christian home, and the Lord brought me this way. And so that's one of the reasons that I put this order this way, because that's how he brought me. But it applies to everyone. Okay, so are you ready? This is our legacy. And mine, and this is yours. This is your legacy. Number one, God speaks today. God speaks today. Now, that will drive people don't know Jesus bananas. I'm just telling you. Now, I mean, they will just lose it. You believe it. Well, that's the reason you always start with number three. But anyway, it's like, no, I believe God speaks today. And how? And God speaks, and I'm going to say, each believer, I'm going to tell you this, right? He's spoken to you. If you're good, he's spoken somehow, some way. He's prompted you. There's something through the scriptures. There's been answer prayer. But there's something in which you hold on to, and you'll never turn loose. Why? Not because somebody told you. Because God spoke to you, and you'll hold on to that. And then we'll talk about that, how important it is, because in the communications, sometime after number three, it was, no, God speaks today. And then you're going to have to give an example. How? Well, prayer, or through the word, or, you know, whatever. But we'll talk about that. But that's number one. That's our legacy. We believe God speaks today. That's the reason we stand where we are. He is real. How do you know he's real? Because he spoke to me. Okay, number two, the scriptures are God-breathed. Okay. That drives lost people crazy. Okay, it does. But we believe it. Scriptures are God breathed. It's His word. Now again, it's where we come back to, and you know, my particular testimony is like, I came to know the Lord reading the scripture. I know they're God breathed. I mean, it's like, I'll die for this because I know the Lord spoke in that. But we believe that God's breathed, and therefore is the foundation for our growth and understanding and everything. But that we're talking to people who don't know. It was the scriptures are God breathed. And then number three, and again, you got to have number three, number one in all these conversations. He said, Jesus loves us and Jesus died for us. Now, to the evil, it just like blow us off. To the seeking, it touches their heart. It's something, you know, it's like, oh my. You know, because there's no hope when you reject Jesus. And all of a sudden you're saying, He loves you. He died for us. And so that's a start. So, number three, Jesus loves us and died for us. Now, tying all this together, and by the way, you all know this already, but tying all this together is fourth, is faith. How many times do you say, oh, just have faith, just have faith? No, you don't just have faith. You hear something from God through the scriptures or somebody else, God speaks to you. You hear from God. It's from faith. And you hear God, then you obey. Abraham, when called, went. Abraham didn't go. Abraham, when called, went. Abraham's a man of faith. When called, we go. When spoken to, there's a we go because God said so. That's faith. Faith, just for no reason, is idiocy. Okay? That's crazy. That's crazy. Faith is based on God. We heard from God about God, what He communicated. I mean, the scriptures, that's truth. He spoke it to us. Then we obey and trust in it. Why do you trust in it? Because He spoke it to us. Amen? So faith, that's huge. Faith. Now remember, we're talking to the outside world here. Then, number five is the Holy Spirit is God in the man or woman. Okay? The Holy Spirit. And I used to ask this question because I couldn't, no one preached on the Holy Spirit, so I tried to ask them what it was and got a lot of lukewarm answers. But the truth of it is the Holy Spirit is God in the man. When we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we receive God. When we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we see Jesus. Now, what we do when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit. God's on His throne, and Jesus is at His right hand. The Holy Spirit is within us. It's God in the man. Therefore, the Holy Spirit being God in the man changes everything about us. Right? God come in you. Is He going to change something? I use this example. We have God before all creation. He spoke the word and He created the universes. And then God comes and lives with me. He can't do nothing. He can't do nothing with me. You know, He can create the universe, but He can get me to do nothing. See? No. He transforms me. I have this affinity for men and like that. Hey, God, I can't get over it. And we receive Jesus. We receive God. He transforms us to behave like Jesus. We're transformed. We're no longer under that curse. It's God in the man. Amen? We don't talk them out of it and send them to a class. Receive Christ. May struggle with it, but you receive Christ and you come out of it. You grow out of it. It's God. The Holy Spirit is God in the man. Amen? Now, again, we're talking to people who don't know. Okay? Evil. It God. Oh, wow. You think you got God in you. You know. You. Hey. You know, let me tell you my testimony. But let me tell you my life. You know. But it's. That's. But you become. That becomes the argument. Not something they made up. What they made up is nothing because they think you have really created an argument that needs to be addressed and that you think God's in you. See, we changed the whole argument by saying the truth. saying the truth. We got out of their foolish argument and we got into the truth. Now, so the Holy Spirit is God in the man. Remember, you know, in Acts 2, Jesus goes, listen, guys, don't go anyplace. Just stay here. Don't go anyplace. Why? We're going to preach. No, no. Stay here. And the Lord will send you the promise. And the promise is the Holy Spirit. And they stayed there, and God sent the promise. And they were empowered and changed the world. But they had to wait for the promise. God in them, the Holy Spirit. Amen? That truth, fundamental, that's our legacy. Now, I'm not going to freedom, and we'll talk about that. And I mean, we're big on free. We are free before the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not under the law. We are totally free. You know, you mean you steal and you can just go ahead and steal and you got to follow that law? No, you don't. So you don't have to follow the law to not to steal. I'm going to ask you something. Did Jesus not steal because he had to obey the law, or did he not steal because he was Jesus, and Jesus would never steal? Which one? Jesus didn't need the law not to steal. He didn't. If he didn't law, he didn't have law, he wouldn't steal. If we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, God in us, and are transformed, we won't steal. And if I steal, you know, the first thing should be, you need to do what the law says. The first thing, one is, do you even know Jesus? How can you receive Jesus? That's proof to me that you don't even know him. We need to have a walk with you. We need to revisit your salvation. Amen? I'm a homosexual, and I will not change, and I cannot change. Where's Jesus? Is Jesus a homosexual? No, he's not. Did Jesus need the scriptures not to be a homosexual? No, he wasn't. See, Jesus wasn't because he was who God created him to be. And through the power of the Holy Spirit in Christ, he behaved like God. And God doesn't behave like a homosexual. You don't need a law. Are y'all with me? We're free. See, we're free to obey Christ in us, which, you know, will be consistent with the law, but it's not because of the law. It's because God is in us and we love God and he's transforming us. Freedom. Now, I put up there, and we'll cover it again. Some of you may have forgotten this, the little red wagon. Y'all remember? Anyway, and it's just a good example, okay? And so we'll visit that again. But freedom. So, again, churches are known for being judgmental because they put people under the law. They're judgmental. I mean, you have to be. Here's the law. You're not doing it. You did it. You judge them. But we're free because we follow the law because Christ is in us and we love him. And he teaches us to love him more and more and to behave more and more like him. That's freedom. I'm happy just loving Jesus. I don't need a law to tell me. Amen? Law's good. It's not bad. But he said when Jesus, and it says this, when Jesus came, he did away with the law. Now he said that because it's understand Christ. Amen? Okay, so, but see, I could just pull up certain messages on that. I'm not going to do that. But we're going to talk about just so they can be, so that they can be more on the tip of our tongue and understand what a powerful place we are. Now this one, oh man, I love this one. Number 7, male leadership exalts the woman. Now everybody hates this one. You know, I mean, it's like the lost people hate it, the people in the church. Some of my biggest negative reactions from this has come from within the church, pastors within the church. One guy, just jumped all up. One guy walked out of a message. I thought, I'd mess up the deity of Christ or something. No, it was this. it was this. And what is a fact, and there are people on both sides of this issue. But it's an amazing thing. And what people try to do, they are overbearing, you know, make it destructive, you know, overriding people. And then a lot of the scholars today, some guys are just diluting it, and that's not what God really meant. We're all exactly equal, and it's like that, and that's not. And what they're doing, they're proving that the Scripture doesn't say what it says. But we are talking about Scripture says what it says. But when you read the whole thing, and you guys, you know where I'm going with this. And here's the kicker that makes this whole thing work. First of all, you want male leadership because you want them out in the front and taking the heat. Like if you're married to your husband, ladies, you go, hey, we're having a problem. Sick them, buddy. Laugh at that. I mean, that's the truth. That's what he's supposed to do. Go get him. Why? Because you take care of me. You don't let anybody hurt me. You see? What do you do when you destroy male leadership? You destroy the place of the woman. It totally, totally puts the burden of everything on her. But what does the Bible say about men and male leadership? It says, now it doesn't say this about the woman. It just flat doesn't say it. But it tells the man, husbands, love your wife like Christ loved the church. It's the number one verse. Now, when I first found this verse, my wife and I were separated. So I said, this can't be right. This is not right. So I looked it up. Well, we're loving like Christ loved the church, so I'm looking for holes in this. He said, no, you love her like Christ loved the church. You give yourself totally. You die for her. You take upon all the evil that she may have ever. It's on you. It's on you. And then you sacrificially love her. And then it throws, and Jesus loved us while we were yet sinners. Come on. Can I get a hallelujah from the ladies? Hallelujah from the ladies. All right. See, and so the church is screwing that up. Well, the whole dynamic is destroyed. People have come to me, a marriage counselor, not any of you, some of you, where I come to marriage, and if you know that, I wish Greg Walker was here because he's come like 10 times. He'd laugh he's been in here. But he knows what I'm going to do. He knows what I'm going to do. The first time we sit down there, and I married Greg and Sophie. We knew Greg and Sophie before they were married. I mean, we've known them forever. He come in, and I said, hey, Greg. He'd say, this is the issue. I said, okay, are you loving her like Christ loves the church? And we talk about it. I said, well, then how do you expect me to say anything to her when you aren't living up to what God told you? Till you live up what God told you, I can't say anything to her. See? He quit coming. He's here in the church now. But you see what I'm saying? This is huge. And the world is messing up. And what the world is doing, if you watch it closely, they're undercutting masculinity as a whole. There's a reason for that. There's a demonic reason for that. We're going to talk about that. But I tell you what, I have had a relationships class, and I've had it full. There's like 12 couples, and they were all unbelievers, all unbelievers. And so I'm thinking, well, we'll see how this works. And with of those 12 couples, 100%, the women loved it. They didn't even know Jesus, but they said, I like this. You know, if you care. Wouldn't even believe. Loved it. The men, all 12, hated it. Hated. It's like, well, that's all. It's like it's all about me. And I said, now you understand. Are you all with me? Because you are responsible. Amen? Amen? I'm getting off base, but Gary Smalley, who's written a lot of books on marriage and love, and he had written something like this about husbands love Christ, love the church, and he's going to make a speech. I think he said he was in Colorado, and it wherever he was in a bus, I don't know, it was coming from the airport or something, but Gloria Steinem was on the bus with him. Y'all knew who Gloria Steinem is, right? I mean, she's big women, liberal, big, I mean, belligerent. And so he's looking at his door. He says, you know, I'm sitting here just preaching this stuff. There's a good place to see how it works with somebody who totally disagrees. And so he walked up in the bus and said, could I sit down beside him? He introduced himself and said, I'd like to share something. He said, she's very nice, very sweet, very nice. And you know, she said, sure. And she told him, you know, what he's going to preach. And she thought it was kind of funny, you know. And so what he did, he went through and basically what he did, take the whole thing together. He expressed the thing that, you know, a man, the way God meant, is to love a woman like Christ loved the church. I mean, that's where he came from. And said, what do you think? Her answer was, it's in his book, her answer, this is what God says about a man. What do you say about that? Her answer was, they don't make a man like that. She'd say he's crazy. She didn't say she didn't like it. She goes, they don't make a man like that. And God says, that's the way I want a man to be. Ladies, you benefit. You benefit. So if you ever get crossways with your husband, just come see me. He'll be so sorry. He did just, you know. Okay. Now, I'm being a little facetious, not too much. But this is an important thing, because in the world, this is all messed up. And obviously the first thing you know, it's how Christ loved the church. Christ loved the church. See where you brought the argument back to? Christ. Now, and the last one, and we're going to go over it because this is important, is holy fire, tools, or gifts of the Spirit. God gives us gifts of the Spirit where he works within us, it supernaturally works in us to accomplish things he wants to do if we listen to him. And I mean, it goes through the whole thing, and prophecy, and words of knowledge, and stuff like that. Used biblically, it's there, and it's for us, for our benefit, to exalt Christ. Now, here's the point I want you to look at this, and it's going back and for us to remember. Each of these points, people may not agree with you at all and just blow it off at all. But what you do in every one of these eight answers, what you do, you bring the argument from whatever they had back to Jesus. They'll forget what their argument is. I mean, you know, we won't talk about homosexuality. You go through this, and they'll be arguing with you about the things of the Lord. And that's where you want them. Amen? He's the only one going to change it. Well, if God said that, I don't know. This is what God... Well, that's between you and God. Well, what? I love. He died for me. He loved everybody. But each one of these answers will bring the discussion back to Jesus. 1 through 8, they'll bring them back to Jesus. So you get off the world's ignorant arguments, and you come in and you end up discussing the things of the Lord. But they may not receive that, but when they don't receive that, they're just rejecting the things of the Lord. You go, hey, that's between you and Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm serious. Do you see what I'm saying? Now, because we get wrapped around the axle talking about crazy stuff people make up, and there's no answer. We have that. They may reject the answer, but we bring it to where the truth of it is, and they're dealing, by the time we finish with the discussion, they're dealing with Christ. I don't agree with what he says. Okay, that's our big issue. I believe what Christ said, and you don't. Amen? This is the reason we're going to go over legacy, these things. You can deal with anything. These messages are what God has specifically showed Broadlands Community Church. I'm not saying showed any place, but he showed us. And these embracing these truths will enable us to dismantle, neuter, and defeat anything Satan throws at us. Now, again, if somebody says, I ain't talking about you, you just religious and walks off, okay? Fine. What he's walking off from? Our view of Christ and his power that changed us and his love. See, not walking off because whether we love gays or don't love, because we moved the whole thing about God. See, you changed that whole argument. And by the way, you know who did this perfectly? Perfectly. Jesus. How many of you read through the Gospels? You read through the Gospels, and they'll ask this question, whatever. And then Jesus will answer it. And I remember, you say, Jesus, that's not what they ask. Why did you, Jesus, they asked this, and you said it had nothing to do with each other. And it was like, you know, they asked the wrong question, so I just brought them to the right answer. See, Jesus did all the time. We get sucked into these things, and then we're getting frustrated. All these things we can do is smile on our face. Now, they may think we're dumb as a post, but we're excited about God, which is also bothers people that don't know Christ. You see? Okay, so that's what we're going to be doing the next 8 weeks. And the thing of this, when people come to understand Christ and it leads to understand Christ, then all the other answers fall into place. Amen? I know we're going late, but y'all came late. I will tell you this story. This is true. John, I won't say Whitcomb. I think it was John Whitcomb. And I believe it was John. He went to Princeton. He went there, and I think it was Princeton. And Princeton, it was established as a school of theology. That's why they established Princeton. I mean, I think the president of Princeton, I think he didn't even believe in God. Seriously, it's so liberal. But at the time, John Whitcomb went to Princeton, and there were still some believers in Princeton, pretty solid guys, and said his roommate was just an outlaw, you know, and they're drinking, smoking, running around, but his roommate, you know, and he tried to share Christ with him, and the guy would just blow him off. He said, listen, you believe in that nonsense of Jonah and the whale swallowed the guy, that's ridiculous, those are just, you know, fantasies. And he said, I can't believe any of that stuff. And he said he went up and looked up about whales swallowing men and if their mouth was big enough and they could do all that and try to get it. He said nothing ever worked. So he went to this professor and he said, I have this roommate and he won't believe anything. He won't. I'm just wondering, would you come and talk to me? And he's an old professor. He said, yeah, I'll talk to him. And so he walked up, took him to his room, and said they were in there playing poker, smoking and drinking. And he walked in with this professor. He said, my gosh, you wouldn't believe it. He says, like rats leaving a sinking ship. He's like, guys are jumping out the windows and everything. Just get away from this professor. Like, oh, Lord, you know. And so his roommate was staying there. And he said, John Whitcomb said, I brought professor over, I want him to talk to you. He said, whatever, you know, typical. And he said, I wanted to talk to you about Jonah and the whale. I said, yeah, what about it? And the professor does this. Now, pay attention. The professor said, you know, there's some good arguments about that, and I'd love to talk to you about that. You know, I mean, there's some interesting things we can look at that. But first, what we need to talk about is we need to talk about your relationship with Christ. That's what we need to talk about first. Can I do that? Yeah, sure, whatever. Anyway, so he went through the gospel with this kid. And so what the kid did, he goes, do you believe that? He said, I do. He said, would you pray with me? He said, yes, I'll pray with you. So that professor prayed for this boy to receive Christ in that room right there. And Whitcomb said, I couldn't believe it. And then when he finished praying, Whitcomb says, what questions do you have about Jonah and the whale? He goes, I don't have any questions. Process that. I don't have any questions. Why? Why? He accepted Christ. He was enlightened. He had no questions. We're like the guy going to the library getting reams of paper to show that a whale can swallow a man. God goes, no. No. Share Christ. Get them to come to deal with Christ. They accept Christ. They won't have questions. Amen? Okay. I can't even tell how long I've been going because the clock's busted. I'm making all these excuses sitting here talking to you. Here, we'll close up with this. Now, why is this important? We have a responsibility, and we'll go over these eight things, be concise in them. But again, it's to equip us. What it says in 2 Timothy 2:2, what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Who knows? That's the purpose. You know, it's like, and women. We have a responsibility, and you entrust it to others so they can share it with others also. But get these eight things right. Don't be off talking on tangents that there's no answer to that are orchestrated by Satan himself. Keep it on Jesus. And if you keep it on these things, you keep pulling it back to Jesus. You keep pulling back to Jesus. You're not trying to convince them, but you are pulling it back to Jesus based on truth. And God, we don't need to be intimidated at all, at all. Pull them to Jesus. God will give the answer. And God has put us in a position equal to himself. Now process that. Do you believe that? God has put us in a position equal to himself. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For our sake, God made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might be as right as God. He's put us right there. We come with the fullness of God, and we speak. Do what God tells us, pull it back to God, and God will give the answer. Amen? Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your word, Lord, and I thank you for what you've taught us. And I thank you that each person here has heard this before, but this is what you've taught us. Let us zero in, and as we look at each person, it's a divine appointment, and we know we are fully equipped to deal with anything that comes our way, anything. And because of the Lord Jesus Christ who lives within us. So God, we just pray. I pray for each person here and all the people traveling that 2023 will be a powerful year as we see you work, cooperate with you, and walk in step with you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You may... That's not bad. 11:30. All right, everybody stand. There's some refreshments in the back. There's some refreshments in the back. And visit somebody you hadn't seen in a while. Maybe this minute.